on this week's FPL Happy Hour.
Just before we move on to an FPL point of view, just want to say it's Ollie's at the wheel, yeah?
Well, he is at the moment.
Hello and welcome to FPL Happy Hour, episode 22 of season 3 with myself, Sham, otherwise known as FPL 2 Guys 1 Cup on Twitter.
And myself, Rob, otherwise known as FPL Panda.
Rob, I won't ask you how you are because I already know how your weekend has gone after a great FPL game week.
Oh, but, no, yeah, how are you? We're going to talk about that. Yeah, let's talk about the good bit of the weekend. Yeah, it was, I had a really good week FPL-wise. Felt justified for playing fairly safe in the last couple of weeks. Not like sticking with my plan rather than following what appeared to be what the whole of the FPL world seemed to be doing last week with the move from Lukaku to Havertz, which... it was a sensible move to make, but where I had a problem with my defence and with Luke Shaw, I felt I needed to bring in a Chelsea defender, and it all fell quite swimmingly for me. But it was kind of bittersweet in the end with how the weekend finished.
The 5-0 drubbing at Liverpool.
It was a sobering afternoon at Old Trafford. I think it was not much more I could say about it. Obviously disappointed with the result, the performance. There was nothing really positive to take from the game at all, well, apart from maybe the first 5 minutes when we were still in the game and we had a good chance. Bruno should have put a chance away. We could have been 1-0 up in the first 5 minutes, but once they scored, heads went down and United were, it was just shambles really all over the place. And there's plenty of other pods that I've listened to in the last couple of days that have summed it up quite well, so we won't stick it. We'll just move on and crack on. I mean, from an FPL point of view,
we move on to an FPL point of view, just want to say it's Ollie's at the wheel, yeah?
Well, he is at the moment. Well, we're 20-7 on a Tuesday evening, and he's still at the wheel, apparently.
Are you Ollie in or Ollie out, just quickly?
I'm in the middle at the moment.
Okay.
Because at the moment, the only sort of manager worth his salt kind of available that has shown an interest in United is Antonio Conte. And that feels a little bit backwards. We've had Van Gaal playing defensively and we weren't happy with it. It was boring football. We had Mourinho play defensively. We were happy when it won trophies, but it was still pretty shit at the end of the day. We've had Solskjaer come in, play counter-attacking football, which has been quite exciting at times, and it has produced results. Just no trophy at the end. But then going to Conte, it just feels like it's going back to that Van Gaal Mourinho time. It'll be good defensively, but I think the thinking of it with the board at United is that they want to play this the United way with the United brand of football that has always been attacking, whether it be counter attack or not, there's probably a gentleman's agreement there now with Solskjaer that at the end of the season, it'll probably be time to go.
I don't even think he'll last the season, to be honest.
I think the next three games, like, that's what he's got. Like, he's got Spurs on Saturday, then Atalanta away next week, then City at home in, well, 10 days' time. And, if he loses those three, I think he'll be gone in the international break after City. If he gets results, then he'll probably be kept on. I just can't see, like, if they can't sack him in the last 48, couldn't sack him in the last 48 hours, then I don't think they can then go and turn back around in a couple of weeks' time and then sack him. It was kind of, it had to happen yesterday, or it wasn't going to happen at all. There's several managers out there that are currently at clubs that it would be tough to bring them away from those clubs in the middle of the season. Someone I really like is Ten Hag at Ajax. And it's a name that has been sort of bandied about a bit. And at the end of the season, he probably will be available to bring in, but not right now. So, yeah, it's kind of it's a Conte or Conte or Solskjaer kind of thing. So we'll see what happens.
We had polarizing weekends, didn't we? Because, you had a great FPL game week, but then in football terms, you had a shit weekend with Man United losing. And I had an absolutely shit FPL weekend, but a great footballing weekend with the 1-0 win at the London Stadium beating Spurs. Unfortunately, I wasn't at because I was at a football tournament instead. However, I won the football tournament and beat my old side in the semi-final, which is always bittersweet, you know, loving that, beating your old side in the semi-final and then winning it. So that was good. Patrick Evra says, I love this game. Well, I hate this fucking game with FPL because I did what I think was the right decision and the right move, which is bringing in Havertz and captaining him. And in hindsight, you know, I think if we were to replay those fixtures again this week, I think I'd do the same thing again. With a 7-0 victory against Norwich, and Havertz being the only person, in that starting 11 not to return is really unlucky, to be honest with you. But I think a lot of it, and we're going to talk about this in our second hot topic, is about sticking with the plan and not panicking. And I think I've made some mistakes over the last few weeks because I've kind of ditched the strategy that was working for me at the beginning of the season and haven't gone with the plan, and that's seen me plummet. So it'll be interesting to, when we move into that subject, kind of why I've did what I did and kind of talking about different ways, because you've stuck to your plan from the beginning and it wasn't doing so well, but this game week is starting to come back, whereas I've kind of done the opposite, stuck with my plan, doing well, changed the plan, and now it's plummeted. So that's what we're going to talk about. Before we do that, shall we talk about how we did for this game week in numbers then?
Yep. Let's go with you because you're halfway talking through yours. So let's have a look.
So I scored 69 points minus 4. So Ramsdale, Diaz, Liveramento coming in off the bench for Aspilicueta. James scored me a good few points there with his goal, and then Cancelo, and then that Diaz Cancelo Man City clean sheet wipeout really hurt me at the end, especially with the penalty. Havertz captain, which is obviously a mistake. At Salah, no captain, again a mistake, and then Mbeumo, Rafinha and Kane all blanking, but Antonio getting a goal there for 7 points. 69 minus 4, 65, a rank drop from 40k to I think it's about 220, so a huge drop for me. What about you, Rob?
Completely other side of it. My move last week was Shaw to Chilwell in the end. I was umming and ahhing whether it was going to be Shaw to Chilwell or Diaz, and I picked Chilwell. I have to hold my hands up and say, when that Chelsea team sheet came out, it kind of set my tone for the weekend. Like having three out of three starters in that team sheet, I was already feeling quite positive. But yeah, so Gaeta in goal with only 2 points, and that was a clean sheet wipeout that I wasn't expecting with the way Newcastle were playing at the weekend. Chilwell, Rudiger, and then Cancelo, and like you, and have a clean sheet wipeout. Then I got a return from Gray for 5 points. Obviously Mount with his hat trick, Salah with his hat trick. I could have captained either of them, but I went with Mo. I decided that as I was going against Havertz, I had to captain Mo. I could have captained. It was a stage on, when was it? Late Friday evening. No, early Friday evening, about half an hour before the deadline. I've made my move, and I thought about switching the captaincy to Chilwell as a gamble. Which, I mean, I wouldn't have been too disappointed with his return, but then seeing what Salah did, it's I felt justified sticking with it. Saw 2-pointer, disappointing. Watford score 5 and no returns from him, which is unbelievable. Huang got a goal, Antonio got a goal, and Ronaldo had a goal disallowed. So almost returns off everyone apart from Cancelo, Sarr and Gaeta. I think it was like Ronaldo's knee was offside. So yeah, it was almost off a monster haul after that Ronaldo goal went in, and it would have made my green arrow even better because of the amount of Trent, Robertson, Van Dijk owners out there, and
yeah,
the extra point, yeah, couple of points on the on Salah, although I lose that as well. So that would have, yeah, probably bumped me up even further. But I'm not going to grumble because I went from 1.2 million to 330 odd K.
Which is massive. And now you're only like 10 points behind me, bearing in mind before, you know, over the last kind of 8 game weeks, I had accumulated probably about 60-70 points ahead of you, and I was doing really well. You know, so previous to this game week, I was 40k, and you were like, what, 1.2 million? So 40k, 1.2 million, I'm now 220k, and you're 320k. Like, what a fucking huge game week. You know what I mean? There was a million between us, and now there's only 100,000. So well done, mate. You deserve it.
I mean, when was it? It was Sunday. It was just after the game. On my way home, I had a look at our scores, and I didn't even realise it was Livermento coming in off the bench for Azpilicueta. I thought, oh my god, I'm actually only a point behind you.
Yeah.
And then obviously the auto sub comes in, and it's 10 points. But yeah, it's massive move. Like I said at the beginning, I felt justified, sticking with the plan. The plan was always going to be moving Luke Shaw out for a Chelsea or a City defender this week. I did toy with the idea of going Mount to Havertz, but it would have meant a hit as well to do that. And it would have meant playing Veltman against City or Shaw against Liverpool. Which would have been pretty horrific. It's worked out well. I know a lot of people made that Mount to Havertz move.
And you still got your wild card intact swing as well.
So. Yeah, it's quite comforting. And like moving into next week, I've actually got a bit of a benching headache. I'd rather not play a keeper because I've got Sanchez against Liverpool and Gaeta against City. I'm not going to be making a goalkeeper transfer. I did for a brief minute or two when I was setting up my bus team, think about, oh, I could just make a transfer on a keeper. And it's like, no, I'll probably play Sanchez. He'll pick up some save points. He came away with 4 points despite the whooping that
conceding four goals.
Yeah, that Brighton got for him to come away and with two save points at the end. So hopefully he can just go and do that again next week. And it's happy days, really. So I think anything over 2 points is great. But yeah, it's the gamble. Like, there's no value in making a goalkeeper transfer this week. So
no.
Yeah.
Right, let's move on then to our ones to watch section, which is for those regular listeners that will know, we pick a player each that we have liked from the previous game week just gone, and that we think will have is someone to look at for the next few game weeks. So I have gone for Trossard, who you picked a few weeks ago as a one to watch, actually, Rob, and I've sort of to bring him back because his fixtures are looking decent apart from the Liverpool fixture coming up this game week, and you've gone for Youri Tielemans of Leicester. So
I've been like a silent assassin.
He has. Let me just talk about Trossard first before we go into the stats and you talk about Tielemans. So the reason really I like him, I was watching the game against City on Saturday, and he just seemed to be all in and around it. You know, I think he got three shots on target in the end, two or three shots on target. He's taken quite a few shots. He's got some decent fixtures coming up. You know, they've got Liverpool on the weekend, but other than that, I think they've got kind of six or seven out of the eight of the next eight fixtures are all green. I think Brighton, we know, are looking decent. They do struggle to score goals, a lot of goals, but they are trickling in with a one or two here or there, and Maupay or Trossard normally the ones to kind of you know, chip in with that. And I don't quite know if Trossard is a talisman for that side, but I do think he's a really important person to kind of help with Brighton's attack. So that's where I like the look of Trossard. And we're doing a section next on Rafinha replacements, and I think as well as the ones that we've chosen, Trossard is another option as someone that you could look at as a Rafinha replacement. What do you think, Rob? What are the stats saying on? Well, let's talk about Tielemans first. Why do you like the look of Tielemans?
So with Leicester's sort of change in formation, we've seen in the last three or four weeks where they started off the season really poorly, and they've gone into this 5-3-2 now, which seems to really suit suit how they want to play, with Castagna and Pereira going flying up and down each wing. It means that Vardy and Iheanacho can play. They've got Daka in there as well that can, like we saw the other day, Vardy was carrying a knock and Daka came in instead. Madison's playing in that 10 role, which he likes to play. And you've got Tielemans playing that 8 role that he thrived off of two or three seasons ago, where he sort of gets very much box to box and gets involved at both ends of the pitch. And I mean, his price, same as Trossard at 6.4 million. But he's returning as well. He's picking up goals. He's got three in the league so far, along with a couple of assists. He's creating chances. He's just, I think at that price, where, we're looking at Rafinha replacement shortly, and he's someone that he's just gone under the radar, I think, where there's maybe prettier players. Is that that seemingly get called out?
I don't necessarily think prettier players. I think a good way is there's players that are playing in the front three who are around his value or playing higher up the pitch. And that's why Tielemans isn't considered as much, because he's kind of like bang in the middle, or, I guess traditionally he's not a defensive midfielder, but he's not an attacking midfielder.
He's an out and out centre mid. Yeah.
Whereas the likes of Trossard and ESR and people like that are attacking midfielders. They're not central midfielders, right? or you would class them as central of attacking midfielders.
Yeah, definitely. I think it is. I mean, another thing to come out of it is probably where the likes of Vardy. I mean, he's still performing. He's getting goals, but he's maybe not got the legs as much anymore, which kind of allows Tielemans to push on a little bit more. I don't know. He's picking up returns. He's part of a Leicester team that seems to be very much re-energised in the last 2-3 weeks, especially after the. I mean, they won impressively against United a couple of weeks back, and they've got a reasonably decent run coming up as well. I mean, they play Arsenal at home next week, which, I mean, there's a goal in it for them or two. Leeds, who have been pretty awful defensively. Then they've got the fixture against Chelsea, but then in 13, they play Watford. So it's another fixture and it's 6.4 million. It's not someone that I have to go and play against Chelsea. I can sit him on the bench. Then he got Southampton, Villa, Newcastle, Spurs, Everton. Like, it's only once you get to game week 19 and game week 20 when they play Liverpool and City that you'd have to really worry about Leicester's fixtures at the moment. I mean, a lot could change at Spurs and at Newcastle in the next few weeks. I mean, Newcastle still yet to appoint a new manager. I don't know when that's going to happen. And obviously, if United go and spank Newcastle for five, or if United go and spank Spurs for five on Saturday, which I'd love, sitting next to my dad at White Hart Lane on Saturday evening will be good fun. But if that happened, then there'll be Nuno will be under pressure as well. We shall see. Let's have a look at the stats though for these two. They've both played the same amount of games, similar amount of minutes. Tielemans played about 30 minutes more. Scored 15 points more with 3 goals to Trossard's 1 and 2 assists to Trossard's 1. Trossard takes more shots, understandable. He's more of a forward player than Tielemans is. He's taken 24 shots. Tielemans taken 20. Hits the target more, 33.3% of those shots have been on target. Tielemans 30%. Shot creating actions, so Tielemans 29, and goal creating actions, Tielemans on 4 to Trossard's 2. XG 1.3 at the moment to Trossard, 1.2 to Tielemans, XA 2.7 to Tielemans, and 0.7 to Trossard. Giving total expected contributions of 0.43 per 90 for Tielemans and 0.23 per 90 for Trossard.
So Tielemans winning the stats here then?
Yeah, Tielemans wins the stats. I think the eye test, you'd put it on Trossard just purely because he plays further up the pitch in general. Yeah. But then Tielemans, you'd argue Tielemans then plays for the better team. So we'll get more chances in the long run. Whilst, especially this weekend, you'd expect Tielemans to possibly return against Arsenal, whilst you wouldn't expect Trossard to return against Liverpool necessarily. So maybe it's one to not do this week.
Watch. One to watch.
Yeah, not do this week, but then in game week 11, when Brighton play Newcastle and Leicester play Leeds, then you've got both of them with fixtures to really target there.
And I think one of the reasons why we do this section is not necessarily to say bring these players in for this week. It's simply that's why we call the sections ones to watch, because it simply is we're putting these people on your radar that you may not have thought of, to which is why we don't talk about the likes of Salah or Ronaldo or Lukaku on these, because you already know these these people. It's people that are going under the radar. You might not necessarily be aware of their stats or how they're performing. So keep an eye on them and then see how they go over the next couple of weeks and potentially bring them in if you like them.
Yeah, I don't think we've got enough space for Salah's stats, to be fair.
Yeah. I did joke about with you when you were just like, oh, I need your one to watch. I was like, Salah? right. Okay. Let's move on then to our first hot topic, and that is Rafinha replacements. So seemingly Rafinha is injured. Now, this isn't 100% confirmed. We don't know exactly, unless you've heard anything else, Rob. But I've just seen that he came off at the weekend. He's got a flag on him, but we don't know anything other than that. So we're kind of preempting the fact that he might be away for the game against Norwich, and then Leeds have some, in different fixtures, I would say. They've got Norwich away, which is a good game, and then Leicester at home, Tottenham away, and Brighton away. I would say not the best of fixtures those are. So if he's not going to be playing in the Norwich game this weekend, you might want to start looking and seeing, who else is about. So we've got five potential options for you. Those five being Saka, Emil Smith Rowe, Mount, Townsend, and Redmond. We've got some stats for those that are looking at YouTube. We've got some stats on the screen for you. These are players that, for me personally, when Rob asked me, what sort of replacements do you think for Rafinha, my first initial thoughts were you either upgrade to Mount or you look at downgrading to ESR. But these are some other options available as well. So do you want to talk us through it, Rob?
Let's start with Mason Mount, because obviously it was a top-end performance from him at the weekend. You'd argue it's probably one of his best performances in a Chelsea shirt all round. Three goals and an assist was brilliant for him. Where he's had a slow start to the season. Not the last few weeks, he's struggled to even start, and he's been picking up. I mean, he's been sitting there in my team just picking up one point. But it was, we know that he's one of Tuchel's favourites in that team. Tuchel liked him in that 10 role, dictating the game. Along with Jorginho just behind him, between the two of them, they can just run a football match. His obviously his stats are going to be slightly weighted towards the result over the weekend, with his three goals and two assists matching the top of any of these selections. Goal creating actions for. Along with Andros Townsend on four as well. His XG of 0.54 per 90 for goals, 0.42 for assists per 90, and 0.96 per 90 of contributions altogether, which is, that's crazy, a crazy number, but it is only off of 448 minutes this season, when you think that there's been, 850 odd minutes, I'd like to think, this season. So, it's still, you need some more stats in there just to sort of equal it out a little bit. The problem with Mason Mount for a lot of people will be that they already have three Chelsea assets.
That's the problem that I'm in.
But you're not in a problem. Then we'll talk about this shortly. Like, if you made that move for Havertz and you captained him, you didn't just make that move for Havertz for that one fixture.
Yeah,
made that move for Havertz for the fixture against Newcastle, the fixture against Burnley, In the next two before the international break, and then it's likely that Lukaku will be back. And but by then, you can then move around to do anything else. You don't need to bring in Lukaku at that point, because then they play Leicester away, Man United at home after that. So if you've got Havertz, and you've probably, most people have Havertz and two of Chilwell, Alonso, Azpilicueta.
Just quickly, breaking news on Azpilicueta. Apparently he has a shoulder injury, just seen on Twitter. Breaking news, Christensen has problems with his teeth, and says that Azpilicueta has a shoulder injury. Kante is not fit, and RLC has a minor injury. So I don't know how bad the Azpilicueta injury is, but
I mean, that would be interesting. I wonder how many people are now going to take a hit to go Azpilicueta to Mount.
I'll just be doing Azpilicueta to Chilwell.
I mean, it's the sensible move to make, and it saves you $500,000.
Yeah.
Because Chilwell obviously dropped where he wasn't playing until the last couple of games. So he dropped in price. I think I picked him up for 5.4. Which was insane price to pick him up at. So yeah, with Mount, I think it's a case of, if you haven't got free Chelsea, Rafinha to Mount, kind of, if you try and make it happen. If you've taken that hit to do Lukaku to Havertz in the past week, then you've got to stick by it and let it play out over the next couple of weeks. So that's why we've now got these other four that are easier to get to, that you won't have to take a hit for. And then you can distribute that money elsewhere across your team. So Kaiu Saka is the first selection, 6.3 million. Ownership of 10.1%. How do you feel about Saka's start to the season, sort of the opening 10 games? He's started 8 of them.
Indifferent for me. I prefer Emile Smith Rowe, to be honest. I'd rather save the kind of 0.8, 0.9 million and go to the Croydon De Bruyne over Saka. I don't know why. I just feel he probably just offers a bit more value than Saka.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting in the stats. It actually has Saka that takes more shots. So he's taken 16 to ESR's 13. But ESR gets more on target. ESR gets eight on target out of those. 61.5% to Saka's 31.3%. I think that's the difference between ESR playing as a number 10 and Saka playing as an out and out right winger, really, and sometimes even as a wing back, although with Tomiyasu there now, he's got that license to sort of stay forward and move inside a bit more. So that brings us on to ESR, who he had a relatively quiet start to the season, but then in the last couple of weeks, he's really caught a light. I mean, Arsenal as a whole had a relatively quiet start to the season, where they were just a bit shit, to be honest. But ESR has put in some top performances in the last couple of weeks, especially even with the under-21s. He produced a good performance there. I expect by the end of this season, he will be capped for the senior squad for England. I think that he's another one of these players that's going to come into that midfield where they've got Foden, Mount, etc. They might bring him in just to learn a bit off them. I can't see him starting like a major competitive game for England for a while because of the likes of Foden and Mount, but yeah, he'll be in and around the senior setup in the next few months. Andros Townsend, who's had a bit of a breath of fresh air, he's been breathed to new life. Is that what we should say? By Rafa Benitez at Everton. He scored a brilliant goal against Burnley. When was that? Game week 4, I think, or game week 5? He's scoring goals. He's on 3 goals for the season at the moment. Got a couple of assists. He's taking plenty of shots. He's taking 14, which is the second most out of this selection. He hits the target. 57.1% of them are on target. 4 goal creating actions, 31 shot creating actions. He's beating ESR, Mount and Redmond on the shot creating actions. His XG 0.24 per 90 and an XA of 0.19 per 90. I reckon the XA would probably be a lot more if there was a decent striker.
I was just about to say, yeah, if Calvert-Lewin was playing, then it'd be a lot more than what it is now.
They've got Richarlison back now, which is a positive, but he's still gives you something very different to what they'd get from Calvert-Lewin, which is my worry at the moment with Everton. The performance on Saturday, you could tell they've just lost their most important player so far this season in Abdoulaye Doucouré. And it'll be interesting how they can pick it up. They've got Wolves away this week, then they got Spurs, then City. It's not the best run of games for them, but we shall see. If they can get a result, pick themselves up from the Watford defeat and get a result against Wolves, and then Spurs, and I think Doucouré is due back. They're saying 4 to 5 weeks after the international break, so it's about six to seven weeks from now. So this side of Christmas, he'll be back. So he's maybe someone to keep in mind for once Everton have at least got Calvert-Lewin back.
Do you have Rafinha?
I don't. I haven't owned him this season.
You haven't? Okay, interesting.
Dodged a bullet. Why are you going to ask me what I'd be doing?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask. If you had Rafinha and you didn't have any money in the bank to upgrade, what would you be doing?
I'd probably go to ESR. At least for the next 2 weeks. So, like Leicester away, then Watford at home. I'd give it those 2 game weeks and then I'd probably reassess again because then they play Liverpool. But it's 5.5 million. So you can go and sit on the bench against Liverpool because then they play Newcastle after that. They play Man United after that. God knows what's going to be going on at United. Then you've got Everton. So, it's the next 2, definitely, for Arsenal. You can maybe then reassess to go somewhere else. There's a lot of people that have got similar problems, maybe with Jota, not knowing whether he starts or is benched each week now. It looks like the rotation is setting in between him and Mane. I think we'll have to see with that. Then finally, I've gone Nathan Redmond, who he's been given more of a license to attack in the last couple of weeks. Southampton, some reasonable fixtures, especially over the next 3, with Watford, Villa and Norwich as their next 3 fixtures. He's only 0.3% owned, 5.9 million. He hasn't scored yet this season, which is the concern. His XG is more than Townsend, it's more than ESR, and it's more than Saka. His XA of 0.31 per 90 is only beaten by Mount as well. So his overall contribution, expected contributions, 0.56 per 90, which from a 5.9 mid is actually like it's decent value from that expected, those expected statistics. It's just the concern is that he hasn't scored this season. He's got a couple of assists, as have three of the other four. But yeah, everyone else has got off the mark with a goal. That's the concern. But the fixtures are on his side in a Southampton team that have looked a lot better in the last few weeks.
Right, so those are your Rafinha replacements. Anything else to add on that, Rob, or is that pretty much covered?
No, I mean, we kind of covered that, like going and trying to shift things around to get Mount in. I think the bus might have left on that one. You'd be taking a hit for a two fixture run rather than the three fixture run. It's sticking with the plan, which is quite a nice segue, actually, isn't it?
It is a good segue. Right, so our next hot topic is sticking with the plan and not panicking, something, Rob, that you wanted to talk about. But before we I'll let you talk about it, let me just kind of tell you about how I feel and kind of what's happened with myself over the last few weeks. So, you know, I started off at the beginning of the season going with the ownership strategy, something that I know has worked in previous seasons but isn't really suited to my style of management and the way that I play FPL, but I know it is a successful one, and that essentially is going with the herd, picking the 8 to 9 most popular players and then having 2 to 3 differentials, something that really worked out for the first few game weeks, within kind of hovering between 10 and 30,000 overall rank. So it worked. And then I decided to wildcard in game week 8 because I wanted to attack the fixtures. And by attacking the fixtures and wildcarding meant that essentially I wasn't really going with the ownership strategy anymore, because the teams that I was attacking, being the Chelsea and City, and attacking those fixtures, they weren't highly owned at that point. And so it's meant that I've probably got a team of differentials now, maybe 6 or 7 differentials rather than 2 or 3 differentials. And then obviously last week I went with Havertz captain and rather than Salah captain, even though I knew Salah captain was going to be, a highest own percentage. And obviously that's burnt me. And now I'm back to down to 220K. So me not sticking with my plan has hurt me. And it's now a case of me thinking about this week, how do I reevaluate and go back to, because, there's two parts of me now thinking, right, okay, I'm already at the point now where I'm at 220K. And so if I go with the herd, because the plan was always kind of go with the herd, and then towards the end of the season, the last maybe 15 game weeks, start doing my own thing and then trying to do some more differentials and then make some rank up. Whereas now I'm at 220K. If I stick with the herd, it's going to be very difficult to like move up the ranks quite a lot, because a lot of the players are already going to be owned. So it's about working out, what do I do now? Do I try and get the most highly owned players in, back in, even though they might be running to the end of their fixtures, or working out what else to do. But Rob, why did you want to talk about this subject? What's your thoughts on it?
I think it's where I've seen several accounts and in group chats of people having a bad game week, and they've had better scores than you did last week, and now they're firing out the wild card. And a lot of them took that hit for Havertz last week as well. And it seems very panicky to me, especially doing it sort of on Sunday, straight after the final whistle of the United Liverpool game, right, wildcard time. Now, a lot of these people. I had a look at, sort of had a scroll through to see if I could find screenshots of their teams. And like, you've got teams that have got the likes of Cancelo, Diaz, Chilwell, Rudiger, Havertz, Salah, some have got like Kane in as well. Like, they've all got like TAA, all got sort of seven or eight players that have all got good fixtures coming up. Like, they're either in the middle of their good fixture run, or like Kane from game week 12 when they Spurs play Leeds, or even in game this week, like he could go and bang against United at the weekend. So it all feels very reactionary. And I think when taking that hit last week to bring in Havertz, you've almost signed a contract of yourself to go, right, I'm going to take that gamble, and he's got 3 weeks to repay me for it. And you've given him 70 minutes or 75 minutes, however long he was on Saturday. But you know that next week against Newcastle and the week after that against Burnley, he will probably, well, most likely be starting as a number nine for the champions of Europe and the team that are top of the league at the moment. So you'd argue, yeah, the best team in the country, although they're definitely in the top three in the country, probably in the top three in Europe. It's something that they said the other day, we're very lucky in this league where with Chelsea, Liverpool and City, like, if you throw in Bayern Munich, that's the top four teams in Europe, like, at the moment. Then probably PSG for the top five. So if you've got a team that's more or less covering, especially this week, like, people will have Salah and TAA probably as a minimum. They'll have two or three City players as a minimum. They will have three Chelsea players as a minimum this week to have covered the fixtures last week. And this week, yeah, they've got Palace, they've got Newcastle, and they've got Brighton between the three of them. Who are you, like, if you're using that wild card, what are you really doing with the wild card to make a real difference at this point?
I'm just trying to load up a message that a friend sent me, because he messaged me this week and said, I think I'm going to wild card. And he had a decent week. I can't find it at the moment, but it had the likes of Foden and Havertz and Kane and Antonio. And I told him to send his old team. And there was a few. I think he scored 110 points this week. And he was still looking at using his wild card. Let me see if I can load up. Right, so his old team was Sanchez, TAA, James, Livramento, Salah, Smith-Rowe, Gallagher, Rafinha, Ronaldo, Vardy and Antonio. All right, so I'll go through that again. Sanchez, TAA, James, Livramento, Salah, Smith-Rowe, Gallagher, Rafinha, Ronaldo, Vardy and Antonio. And the team that he wants to go for, again, Sanchez, but going with Chilwell and James and Cancelo. So he's bringing an extra Chelsea defender and bringing a Man City defender. TA and Livramento still. Still keeping a Smith Rowe. And going Mount, Foden and Salah, as everyone will be having Salah anyway. And then Kane, Antonio and King. Making about six, seven changes there. So the main difference is bringing in Foden and Mount for Gallagher and Rafinha, and then taking out Ronaldo and Vardy and bringing in Ronaldo and Kane and King.
So I think that's
defense instead of White and Loughton, bringing Cancelo and Chilwell. There's about 6-7 changes there.
It's decent side. Yeah, the team wasn't really. It doesn't seem like it was prepared for this Chelsea run of fixtures.
Well, so yeah, what I said to him was,
there was only one Chelsea asset in there before.
So one Chelsea asset and no Man City assets. Hmm. So what I said to him is, if Rafinha and Vardy are confirmed as being injured, then I would definitely play the wild card. If not, see if you can get away with it. But then it's up to you. It's a case of weighing it up to do, because obviously he was probably going to use it in 15 or 16. So I said, what you need to weigh up is look at a spreadsheet, look at the planner and go, do you think I can make more money with doing it now versus doing it in 15, 16? If you think you can make more money now, then do it now. But yeah, if you've got a couple of injuries in the side with Vardy and Rafinha, then it's definitely worth doing it now.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few like problem players in the first team, like Vardy, Rafinha, Gallagher's a bit of a problem, like with Milivojevic back at Palace. Gallagher's not getting a sniff at the set pieces that he was getting all of them in the first few game weeks of the season. So he's a bit of a problem at Palace. But yeah, I think a lot of that is down to pre-planning. I think if you plan correctly, you will get yourself in, you'd be in a position where you have, a couple of City, like one or two City by now. You'd have one or two Liverpool, and you'd definitely have three Chelsea at this point. I'm now at the point where I've got Ronaldo sitting there, and my move could potentially be Ronaldo to Kane this week, but I might just roll and see how it goes, and then do it next week. But yeah, I think if you've got like five or six changes that have to be done, because you're missing out on five or six players potentially from those big three at the top of the league, who like they've got this fixture run. It's this weekend. That's the thing, because then City. After this weekend, they play United, Everton, West Ham. There's the international break before that as well, before the Everton game. So, I mean, we know what Pep's like after the international breaks. He gives like half the squad and some extra rest afterwards. City are back into rotation. I mean, the good thing, and what this is one of the pluses I saw from wildcarding in that sort of 13, 14, 15 period was the international breaks out of the way. And you know, at the start of the season, we knew that international break would be out of the way. We'd more or less know when Chelsea blank, although that's now been, the World Club Cup's been moved to February. But that was the idea, that you'd have a clearer picture of the Christmas period and what's going to be going on then. If you've got that many fires to put out, where it's going to, like, if you don't do it, it's going to cost you considerably if results go as to plan. This weekend, that could be a massive, massive red arrow. But I'm seeing people that have got all of those teams covered, and they might just have a Rafinha problem, or they might just have a Vardy problem, or like nothing that like they could potentially fix over one or two weeks.
Well, I think that's pretty much the sum subject covered. I think the main point and takeaway is kind of don't panic, right, Rob? Like, have a valuation, sit down or log out from it for a while, come back to it in a couple of days and come back with a fresh mind rather than kind of acting reactively.
Yeah. I mean, we see it a lot. We see people make transfers too early when maybe they shouldn't do. We saw that last week.
I saw the worst, the not, I shouldn't say funny, because well, I mean it is funny, but it's also a bit harsh. Was when I think it was not the game week just gone, the game week before with Son. So people transferred in Son, and then it was rumored on Saturday night that he had COVID, or was it Friday night that
Friday
he had
night,
COVID?
Yeah.
That he had COVID, so they transferred him out, and then he played and he got like 10 points.
Yeah. But I mean, that was kind of understandable. It wasn't reactionary. It's like, yeah, you've got the news. No. I think you just have to kind of take a step back, go, how much am I gaining from doing hitting the wild card now? No, some people might have gone, I was planning to dead end my team into game week 9 and then wild card after. I don't know why you would do that, but some people may have done that. But yeah, it seems very reactionary in a game that doesn't generally, over the course of a season, reward you for being reactionary. Like, you get the I think that's when the whole skill versus luck thing comes in. I think generally the players that do consistently finish in the higher echelons of Fantasy Premier League, they very rarely make reactionary moves and use chips almost to try and save face from a bad game week. Whilst generally the players that sometimes will struggle to get into those higher echelons would generally might have those one or two reactionary moments of the season which really cost them.
Yeah. Right. Okay. That is that subject covered. I think, Rob, normally we would talk about our initial thoughts and captaincies, but I think we're pretty much in agreement that Salah is a perma-captain for the next few weeks. So I don't think there's any point talking about captains. And with the injuries of Rafinha and Vardy and the likes like kind of surfacing, maybe it would be better to talk about our initial thoughts on Thursday's live stream instead and kind of what we've been thinking about rather than going into any detail now.
I can tell you now that Mo Salah will most likely be my captain up until game week 21.
Okay.
At which point it'll be
to talk about captains for the next.
At which point, yeah, Spurs play
talk about captain for the next 10 weeks.
Yeah, Spurs play Watford, and it'll be Harry Kane for that 1 week, and then it's back to then it'll be back on Salah until the end of the season. I think
other than when he's on his AFCON, right?
If it happens.
Yeah,
if it happens, because the news today was that Cameroon are struggling to complete the stadiums ahead of the African Cup of Nations, and that it could be this tournament could be suspended and moved to a later date. So I'd imagine we'll know that news by beginning of December.
Okay. Right. Anything else to go through? So we're going to be live streaming on Thursday at about 9:30. And we can go through the mini leagues and everything then.
Oh, we'll do a quick mini league update now because I've got it.
You want to get all right, go on then.
A quick one. There's lots of changes. Especially in our top 10 of the mini league. Adrian B remains 10th on 645 points. Joseph Sumsoto moves up into 9th on 648, Fintan Hogan moves up into eighth on 649. Deirdre Kane, former leader, moves down to seventh on 652. This Struick, who's also led it point down to sixth on 654. Pontus Gunnik, up to 655. Jorvan Verk in fourth up to, up on 658. In third, James Twiddy, who's from Horsham, up into third on 662. Nate Harvey up into second on 669. I mean, the top two monster scores as well. 124 points for Nate. And John Leaf, our new leader, who scored 125 points this week on 685 points, top of the league. How many points are you on in total?
I don't know.
Not that many.
I'm not sure. I know it's 10 points ahead of you.
Probably about 100
points. Whatever you're on, plus 10.
I think I'm about 110 points or 120 points behind them. Right, behind the top of the league. Although he's, yeah, so John Leaf is 16 points clear at the top as well. Yeah, top game week, John. Well done.
Right. Okay, so we are live streaming on Thursday. So we'll, I am around on Thursday, so we'll be back, myself and Rob, on Thursday. Until then, thanks for tuning in. You can find us on Twitter, FPL underscore happy hour. We're also on a number of podcasts, including Spotify and iTunes, etc. And our YouTube channel, FPL happy hour. Please like, subscribe and share. And all your retweets are really appreciated. We'll speak to you on Thursday. Take care. Bye-bye.
Cheers, guys.